So we're not going to get some milk conspiracies for a little bit, I guess.
No, no.
They got him.
They got to him.
They got to him.
So Johnny is taking a little bit of a hiatus. He's got other things he's got to be taking care of, working on. So
he said something about, you know, doing some schoolwork, that kind of thing. But I think we all know he's in a room putting up a map with milk conspiracy. There's, you know, like the seven board. He's got all this stuff. He's got all the push pins, the strings.
He's got James Badge Dale behind him.
Yep, he's got a big old conspiracy board. He's going to come roaring back and have utter proof of the milk conspiracy.
He's gone over the deep end.
Yes.
Do not lose faith, fellow tinfoil hat people.
Oh, Johnny, what happened? He's pulling back, and in fact, this is our burnout episode.
Yeah.
Which is a little appropriate because, in fact, we're rolling back the TV Dudes to every other week. Yeah. At least just for a little bit, probably through
for
the
a little
holidays.
While. Yeah.
It's just other things kind of get hectic here. It's not just burnout, it's just like
holidays are crazy.
You guys have kids. I'm getting married in January, so it's like, it's all this, it's a lot of work.
A lot of prepping.
A lot of like, oh shit, my family's coming. Oh shit, my sister just had a baby too. Mm-hmm. So she's bringing her, so I'll meet my nephew for the first time.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's the holidays.
It's a busy time of year, and it's also combines with there's not as much new stuff to cover.
Like that, yeah, too.
So we don't want to keep hitting the same points over and over again. You guys, you know what we like and know what we don't like. So we're still going to record every couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Little check-in.
You know, we're not losing us.
Yeah.
No. But we're gonna slow it down for a little while.
But we're back to the original three.
The original three.
Yeah. We kicked this off with for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to bring in a cousin Oliver or someone.
or somebody needs to get pregnant.
Yeah.
Or are we going to finally date Grant? Or Grant, are we finally going to date? Is it? Are we or aren't we? Are we or aren't we?
It's a great, the great Grant are, will they, won't they?
We can't be ruining the drama.
We can't be double G together?
You guys are making me uncomfortable. What did I say about that? Don't make me uncomfortable.
Not on the mic.
All right, guys. Well, like I said earlier, this is our burnout episode. We are going to be discussing in our third act of the episode shows that we've just kind of gotten burnt out on. You know, apropos for, like we just said, what we have been going through. But it's just, we've been bombarded with it, so many shows. So
yeah,
we kind of want to get into that for a bit.
Yep.
But in our second act, we're going to talk about some other shows that we've been watching. We're going to check in with, like, The Walking Dead and Mindy Project, maybe. And,
yeah, we'll talk about the newsroom that just came back.
Newsroom.
Yeah.
And maybe a couple other shows. But before we get into all that, we got some house cleaning to do. And first up, I want to remind you guys that if you guys want to help support the show, you can go to iTunes, go to the TV Dudes, and give us a 5-star review and write us a little review, and we'll read it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this guy, James Lee, did for us. He said, "I'm giving this podcast 5 stars, but under duress and at gunpoint." Whoa, what the fuck's that about?
Oh, yeah. I forgot to tell you. I went to his house and put a gun to his head.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Always going the extra mile for
it. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Loving the new format of the show. Fits in all the news and all the reviews I need to hear discussed in one sitting. Miss you guys on Leog, but glad I have you here. Keep up the great work. P.S. Will someone finally watch The Good Wife on Amazon Prime already? It's the highest quality network show. CBS's only good show. And more importantly, gets better with age.
James, I watched the first 2 seasons of it. It was great. I liked the show, but it's on Sunday nights. And if it wasn't, if it's not football, which I watch football,
it's
or Mad Men,
DVR doesn't work.
That's actually very funny because U-verse, you can only do like 4 shows at once.
Yeah, there's only so much.
Right. So if Walking Dead or Breaking Bad or Mad Men or any of the HBO shows that were on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I literally can't. I had to drop something.
No, here's the thing. I'm well aware that Good Wife is a good show.
I should watch it.
But here's the thing. There's so many qualifiers for that.
Yeah.
It's the best network show.
Qualifier number one.
On CBS.
Qualifier number two.
So I still haven't finished watching The Nick. I haven't finished watching Master of Sex season one.
Oh, you should watch The Nick.
I don't have time to watch all the stuff that's literally great on cable.
Stop watching Flash and watch The Nick.
No.
I know I can't get you to do that.
So there's got to be, something's got to give. I don't have time to watch everything. And Good Wife, unfortunately, is on my I should really watch this at some point list. I have a list. I have a literal list of The Good Wife, Parenthood, Bates Motel, stuff that I've heard is good that I'm like, I want to watch this eventually before I die.
Yeah.
But I don't know when that's going to be.
I still have The Shield.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean,
that's crazy.
It's nothing against The Good Wife. It's just that there's so much TV.
And you know what? And I have a habit now. I don't know why I do this. I was actually grading papers in school, and I needed to watch something, so I had my iPad up. And I'm watching like the last three episodes of Breaking Bad again.
Yeah.
Which, actually, when you rewatch it, when he goes out to the desert, spoiler alert on this, okay, if you haven't seen it.
But Big time spoiler alert, guys.
No, when he goes out to the desert after Jesse tricks him,
yeah,
that seems ridiculous. Because he said, he says the whole series of what he did on the phone. It's like, why are you doing it? I didn't notice it the first time. I'm like, wait a second. He's like, but Jesse, I saved you when I shot that guy, and I shot this guy. And I was like, no, he didn't do that. It's crazy. But if you go back and watch, you're like, oh.
The opinions of Greg do not necessarily reflect the opinions.
Go
of the
back and watch.
It was a manic rant.
I know, but
in
it
the
was
context
a,
of everything that
it was a weird
season.
No, but still, I think. When you know when Walton, what's his face off with Nazis there, that's still a great scene.
Yeah,
that scene was just, ugh.
Yeah, anyway, I also do the thing where like if I'm working on something that happens a lot,
yeah,
I'll put something on that's sort of background watching. You know,
right.
If I want to watch The Good Wife, I want to devote the time to it.
Right,
and I don't have the time to devote. You know, that where I can half watch a lot of stuff I like.
Sure. And I
think that you guys are taking this a little bit too serious.
No,
yeah.
I want
just
to
comment.
No,
on
I know.
I want to defend.
I want him to know that I do acknowledge The Good Wife is a good, probably great show. That it's not that I don't think it's good. I just haven't had time.
And it's 22 episodes.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
I really do. And that our listeners who may have more time than us should go watch The Good Wife because I've heard nothing but good about it.
Well, let's get into some other questions that we got from our listening audience. If you guys want to send us questions, you can go to Facebook or Twitter and like, follow us, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we'll put up question posts every 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
All right. Our first one comes from Michael Gastini. He says, what show have you always wanted to watch but always kept putting off? For me, The Wire. Hey.
We just covered that.
Randy has...
I have a list.
The Good Wife.
Yeah,
and the Nick,
and Bates Motel, Parenthood.
I tried to watch Battlestar Galactica twice. I got the first two seasons, mm-hmm. and I just ran out of time. Other things took precedence. Yeah. I never finished it. And
so, what you're saying is you only watched the first season or so?
I watched the first two seasons. I watched two seasons all the way through,
dude. That is the way to go. Because I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Battlestar Galactica. I don't like the ending. The ending almost put me off the series. And season one and two is really the best stuff. You've seen the best stuff.
Okay, well then,
so that's good. So you're good. You watch the best stuff. You should finish it eventually.
I would say I've got three major ones. I've got Friday Night Lights, The Shield, and four: Sleepy Hollow and Hannibal.
Wow.
Just focus on those first two. I mean, Hannibal's good, too.
Hannibal's really good.
Sleepy Hollow, meh.
Okay.
We'll talk about that in the third part of the show.
Mm-hmm. All right. Jeff Beasley wants to know, who do you think will be the next TV director to step up and make a big Hollywood blockbuster?
Oh man. I'm
so
a guy who doesn't...
TV two movies.
Well, there's one that just got announced.
Who's that?
Michelle McLaren.
Oh, really?
Who's done a lot of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Is one of the great directors.
Is she doing Wonder Woman?
She's doing Wonder Woman.
Ooh.
And that makes me... I have not been interested in the Wonder Woman stuff at all because I don't like most of the DC movies, but that has my attention. I really like Michelle McLaren. She did a lot with the visual stuff on Breaking Bad. I think that she is going to be like a... Catherine Bigelow. I think she could definitely be in that class.
I hope that they just, you know, allow female directors to do male superheroes
no.
as well.
Nope. Only female directors can only do female characters. Male directors can only do male characters.
Well, you can actually
have to get a black director for Black Panther.
That's correct. You cannot be white and direct Black Panther. You can't. If you want to do Iron Fist, you must have studied Kung Fu in a hidden refuge in the Himalayas.
Pretty sure the guy who directed Philadelphia had to have AIDS.
Yep. If you Am
I going dark?
Who's
that?
Who's
Ted Demi.
Scott Derrickson, isn't he the guy directing Doctor Strange? Mm-hmm. His name. He knows magic.
He does.
Well then, and Spielberg, obviously Schindler's List, enough said.
Yeah. It's true.
it's terrible. Yeah. Okay. It's terrible.
It's the new rules.
Yeah, yeah, well, I mean, do you guys have anyone else on your radar?
I wish I had a better sense of like what happens is these guys go to direct a movie like the Russo brothers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, those guys directed all the stuff I love.
That makes sense.
Same
I mean, I'd love to see
what's his name?
Tim Van Patten, who did a lot of Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, yeah, I could see him doing
that. I was going to say Brian Fuller. I would love to see what he would do with a film.
Does Brian Fuller direct, or does he just write and produce? I didn't know if he directed.
I guess he just... Oh, yeah.
You know who I'd like to see?
The guy who won the Emmy for...
He has such distinctive style, visual style.
That you think it's his directing, but...
him in his writing.
What about Gary...
Cary Fukunaga?
Cary.
Yeah, that's how I was just thinking, too.
I think he's doing movies, too.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, next question comes from Kyle Volte. He says, Arrow's Stephen Amell is making no secret of his displeasure over the way WB handled the announcement of its slate of movies. In a sense, knocking the blocks out from under Grant Gustin's feet as he was launching The Flash on TV. And while he's not saying the TV universe and the movie universe should be bound together, do you think DC's breaking up of the universes hurts or helps their various projects in the long run?
I was just talking about this today.
Intelligent question.
So here's the thing on this. I think that I really like Stephen Amell. I wish he was not saying this because I don't want the TV universe and the movie universe to be together. I think their movies are terrible and their TV universe is great.
But at the same time, don't you kind of recognize that? I mean, you still like DC as a comic franchise.
Sure.
You would like to see it done properly.
Yes.
And if we're seeing glimmers of what's done properly on TV, shouldn't that translate into film rather than them just wasting more money on fucking things up?
I'd worry that what would happen is they'd basically mess up TV by trying to do the stuff than movies that they've been doing.
Because Zack Snyder's still around.
David Goyer's still around.
And that's what I don't understand about DC versus Marvel. I don't know enough about the structure of both of those.
How much time you got? I can cover it.
Briefly, it's because Marvel, except for X-Men, seemed to have one vision for the Avengers and all that, which worked, which is cool. And yet DC, I mean, you've had all these Supermans, you've had all these Batmans. It just doesn't seem to be any type, whether you liked them or not.
Two different media companies, really. Okay. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's like all these different, like, weird kind of combinations, you know, of like... I just saw an Entertainment Tonight interview, like, Michael Keaton and Affleck was there. He's like, well, which Batman would win, me or you? It's like, that's
you're
weird.
You're both Batman,
And you're both Batman. I actually thought Christian Bale probably kicked both your asses.
My take on this, by the way, is that I understand what Amell's doing. He's standing up for his boy, and that's a good thing to be doing.
Right.
But the Flash movie isn't coming out until, like, 2017, right? If it comes out, if they actually make their announcement.
It's funny, the actor they cast, he's the same guy from Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yeah.
He was fucking great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, he may be great, but here's the thing. Flash right now is doing great on TV. It's the best, it's definitely the highest rated show on the CW.
Yeah.
It's a really good show. It's probably the best superhero show on TV. Not probably, it is the best superhero show on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And in... two, three years, you know, I guess two and a half.
Who knows where?
When the Flash movie comes out, it's going to have been on for a couple of years, and it might need the boost of people going, oh, yeah, I like the Flash. Oh, there's a TV show. And what's going to happen is it's going to get a boost, regardless of if the movie's good or not.
Right.
It gives the show a boost. So, yeah, it kind of sucks for Grant Gustin if you want to be making movie money. But other than that, other than the sort of the level at which Stephen Amell's talking about,
Stephen Amell's not going to be in it either, right?
No, and I think that's what he's sort of griping about. I think Amell's saying, "Hey, I launched your franchise for you. Why don't I get to get promoted to the big show?"
Yeah,
but I think he's not thinking. I think he's not thinking of, you know what? You're better off in TV.
Yeah,
you're better off. You get. I mean, he talks about that movies are 2 hours and that shows are 22 episodes.
Better thing in defining that character, than. They would probably get in the film.
He's not. Yeah, if they took Arrow and made a movie, it's not going to be as good. They need the extra time to work. That actually, he's what he says too.
Plus,
he's like,
he recognizes he's budget Batman.
Yeah,
it's like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
You don't want to go into those leagues.
The thing is, though, he can do.
Affleck's going to crush you.
He can do better action than anybody they've cast in the movies. Amell's actually got a physicality that a lot of the guys they've cast in the movies don't have.
Yeah,
I like Christian Bale, but Christian Bale is not
a salmon ladder.
Yeah,
it's really sexy with it.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Speaking of sexy, Dennis McElwain says, this week's Arrow episode appears to be all sex. What is the sexiest episode of television you've ever seen? Best podcast ever, if we can link the answer to the milk conspiracy.
That's so nasty.
Yeah, I don't think...
That's like porn. That's like porn right there.
Yeah, can you guys think milk. Of like a sexy milk scene?
I got no sexy milk scenes. If Johnny were here, I'm sure he'd be able to help us.
Wait, is this like...
We are not the best podcast ever. Sorry.
So, Let's see. So HBO wise, there's a lot you can pull from HBO.
You got to go to Game of Thrones. I mean, Game of Thrones has some sexy. Yeah. You know what's weird? There's a Buffy episode, and it's not even a good Buffy episode. It's like in the college years. But there's one where she and her boyfriend in college start having sex because there's like some demonic conspiracy that them having sex like locks off the. It's this weird. It's this weird thing where it's the plot that them having sex is somehow ruining things. And it's
that's. Terrible.
They spend the whole episode in bed while the story haps around while they're having sex, and they keep cutting to it, and it's like weird. It's like very visual. They're having sex.
I can only watch it in like 5 to 10 minute increments.
let's see. Anything with Ruth Wilson in it?
Remember the 69 scene in The Americans?
Oh yeah.
Actually, you know what? That was as shocking because I'd never seen that on television before
was
like
it
that.
Sexy.
You know, The Americans has a lot of sexy stuff. The what's her name? Elizabeth.
Felicity.
I think her name is Felicity.
Yes, Felicity.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
She is ultra sexy in that
show. What's her name?
Yeah.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
Carrie Fukunaga.
That's right.
We do not need to have her name.
No.
It's fine.
No, we do need her name.
Well, you can find it. We're going to go to our next question.
All right.
Kevin Moreno says, now that Selfie is canceled, what show do you think is going to get canceled by the heartless monsters that are known as the TV studio execs?
Carrie Russell. Sorry.
There you go.
I don't know. All the obvious ones are gone, right? The obvious low-rated ones have trashed. I mean,
I actually found this pretty neat website that tracks like all the next ones that are about to get canceled.
Oh, is that the TV by the Numbers?
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, I bet About a Boy doesn't make all the way to the end of the second season.
About a Boy.
But I don't know the ratings. I just get a sense that it's not getting good ratings.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I beyond that, I don't know. I mean,
Mulaney looks like it should be.
Oh, Mulaney's dead already.
Yeah. It's not, though.
Well, so, they cut the order.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to get rid of the.
They might want to keep it. They might just
they
be
need
like,
to.
We need to just retool this.
Yeah.
We need to.
You think?
We need to drop the laugh track. And,
are you counting A to Z as canceled? Because it had the same thing. The order was cut to 13.
That one they pretty much marked as canceled on the thing.
Same way they did Mulaney.
All right.
I'm just saying, if that's not cancellation.
I'd love if A to Z stayed.
I think they're both getting canceled, essentially.
All right. Let's go ahead and do one more question. We got a bunch of questions, guys. Sorry we didn't get to all of them. A lot of great questions here. I'm going to go over to Twitter. We got one from Thor Wodinson.
Okay.
He says, do you guys think we could ever have a really cool cyberpunk TV show? Heck, even an okay one, Shadowrun or some other setting.
No, but I'd like it. I mean, look how Almost Human. Almost Human was something like that. It wasn't cyberpunk. It was a little more future friendly. It was more friendly future
like
than that, but
like a Transmet Metropolitan would be
something like that.
Sort of cyberpunk.
But that's one thing that none of the cable shows, like HBO, none of the big guns have ever really done.
Yeah,
that's something. If I was HBO, Showtime, Netflix,
yeah,
or Cinemax, something, I would try something like that.
Hell, if I were Sci-Fi Network, that's what they do try.
They haven't
actually tried cyberpunk.
Yeah, you're right.
They should adapt a William Gibson stuff and try to do a series in that. They don't have the money. For whatever reason, it does not seem. I don't know if they think it's an older genre that they don't get into, but for whatever reason, nobody at network seems interested.
Maybe
in that.
BBC America?
Maybe.
You know?
I don't know. Nobody's ever attempted it other than Max Headroom back in the 80s.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's a long time.
And now that he asked that, nobody's ever tried it, and I wish someone would because I think it'd be great.
What if somebody did it, even like a Blade Runner TV show?
Yeah.
Why has nobody ever done that?
I don't know.
I mean, that's like.
I would kill for a good Shadowrun show, by the way. Yeah. The same people who make Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can do good fantasy.
Yeah.
You can do good sci-fi. You could do a good Shadowrun TV show.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just going to be a niche within a niche that's going to turn people off.
I think that may be the problem.
You have to have some broad appeal, great characterization, stuff like that, that's going to transcend.
By the same token, I think you'd have to get... I mean, you'd have to have a Dungeons & Dragons show be a possibility before Shadowrun gets a show.
I mean, it's like cyberpunk reminds me of like trying to make like Downton Abbey, that kind of period piece, like apply to everyone. And they only seem to manage it because they have such great soap opera elements to it.
but I can, otherwise it's such a gamble.
I can easily imagine a great Cyberpunk show, and I'm kind of shocked nobody's attempted it, but I think Grant's right. There's too much of a chance of missing.
We here at TV Dudes might just make your
You know what? That would be cool.
That's right.
I wouldn't mind doing it. But it's just, I think also just money, you know? Money. I mean, to really do it right.
I wouldn't mind doing it, except for, you know.
Except for money.
We need money. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the news, guys.
Anything happen with any comedians, you know?
You want to kick off with that?
I think we have to.
All right. Let's go ahead.
Why? Do you mean Jerry Seinfeld's new Comedians and Cars Getting Coffee season that just started up?
Or the fact that he thinks he's autistic or something? What was that about? It's like
that's what we're talking about, right, Seinfeld?
Yeah, Seinfeld.
We're going to start with a guy named Mr. Hannibal Buress, I believe.
Yes, that, yes.
Who went ahead and brought back to light something that's already been in the news plenty of times, but it often has just been overlooked by mainstream, I guess, media.
I did not know about that.
Like, well, we didn't know about
I knew
this,
about
right?
it. I
did
knew.
You?
I knew.
You heard about it?
Well, I knew the rumors, yeah. Maybe it only goes to the black community because, you know, when they attack one of us,
I mean,
we have to go.
I thought I had heard something maybe a long time ago, but I hadn't really thought anything of it.
I didn't remember.
Because he settled.
All.
He settled like in 2002.
Hannibal Buress ended up going up on stage and talking about how Bill Cosby is a rapist. And like, he's like this guy who wants to chastise all these other black comedians, younger black comedians. And it's like, fuck you, dude. You're a rapist. And he's like, every time you watch The Cosby Show, I want you to at least remember that now. I hope it make it awkward for you. The video went viral. All of a sudden, it seemed to empower what was already like 15 or 16 women who had.
There are 15 women thus far that have come forward.
And the thing.
And they've been coming back out now and like charging back up the claims.
Well, part of it is he was doing this. He was going to do this big Netflix thing, and there's a biography of him.
He had a Netflix deal that they were going to put like what the old Cosby show.
No,
stuff,
he was doing new stand up. He was doing
new stand up.
That got canceled.
And NBC had a show. They didn't like script anything yet. They didn't really have a storyline. But he was going to have a new show come out with them, and they've already jumped ship too because.
Yep.
This is a big scandal.
TV Land was going to do a Cosby Show marathon for Thanksgiving. They stopped doing
it. They pulled their TV Land pulled their Cosby marathon.
Yeah, which is not
good. Here's the thing that's interesting about this, because I've seen a lot of people talking about this online, is the question of whether or not can you give Bill Cosby the benefit of the doubt? Because remember, he hasn't been convicted of anything without being a sort of rape apologist. How do you walk that line? Because if you say, well, he hasn't been convicted of anything. Are you then also saying these 15 women are liars? Is there any way to sort of thread that needle?
I don't think so.
There's such a thing as a burden of proof.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And that's still something I think we should respect. But I think it's pretty damning that there's so many people that at least so many women that can at least claim he's treated them poorly.
Yeah.
That we can at least assess that this guy's not all cookies and sugar and pudding pops like he portrays on the show.
I'll just say,
seems like a schmuck.
The fact that he's married to Camille and sleeping around with a shitload of different women and actually was extorted by the daughter of one of the women who thought that she was his father.
Yeah, I didn't know about this either. I saw this in a think piece.
All I'm saying is if you're going to betray yourself and as the all-American dad, and then you're going to chastise other black comedians.
The sheer audacity,
just
right?
Because they basically
and
curse.
Hypocrisy, yeah.
It's like, man.
Him trying to be some moral authority.
Yeah, you can't do that, dude. You end up looking like a Christian conservative Republican then something, man, by being total hypocrite. It's just ridiculous.
Well, I mean, do you guys, here's the thing. I was looking at the TV Land story.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think about them pulling the Cosby Show?
Now, see, I don't know because in this, I mean, part of it is the climate we're in now,
so
which is totally different.
That.
Well, here's my question. Yeah. There's a couple questions.
TV Land was running
TV
the
Land
old
was running all Cosby shows they run, so they're not showing them anymore. Now, I understand if you think, well, we don't want to be giving any residuals to a rapist.
But everyone else gets screwed over,
But everyone else on the show gets screwed over, too. And the question is, like, is it, you know, and do you have your...
It's more about their brand, though. It makes sense. It's like, we don't want to be in any way associated with this guy, and we don't want you guys to leave our channel because your children are reading news stories about or hearing stuff about this Bill Cosby guy and then seeing him on our station.
I mean,
I think it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, no, it does.
And I think this timing with the stuff with the NFL with domestic violence and all that stuff, which from like the last 6 months have really been up with the Ray Rice video. I think, you know, maybe if this was a couple years ago, maybe it wouldn't have been that much of a hubbub. But it's, now it's, with all this stuff, like, I mean, when NFL is making domestic abuse commercials now with their players, you know, this, I mean, it's always a bad thing.
Not commercials for domestic.
No. I mean, against raising awareness. Yeah, raising awareness. And I mean, I've always been personally sensitive to stuff because I had my mom's aunt, my great aunt was killed through domestic violence. I had a friend of mine or a coworker of mine that was killed that way. So I've always held it close to me that I abhor all that stuff.
Yeah.
So it doesn't bother me. But that kind of legal person of like, well, he wasn't convicted, and you're kind of throwing the baby. Are you throwing the baby out with the bathwater?
Yeah.
But I'd rather be safe than sorry, because what needs to happen is somebody that like either Felicia Rashad or somebody in the Cosby Show or somebody of like that really knows him.
Yeah.
Or that needs to come out and say,
it's an issue that needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
It's but like he,
by people
if,
who
if
know
he
him.
Doesn't want these claims. He needs
he
to
needs
legally,
to
say
something.
Like,
yeah.
Be like, prove it.
Let's, this is libel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Make
your own claim. I mean,
right.
Brian Singer was
that's what
a
he,
big,
yeah.
big notable person that recently had this whole ordeal. And
there's been smoke around him about his sex life.
Sure.
And stuff,
and
but
that guy, his reputation got dragged out in the streets as well.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it turns out the other guy, I mean, we can't
we can't
really
know, but the courts guy, dismissed it.
They dismissed it. They like showed that this guy had made some other like kind of questionable claims, and he actually kind of withdrew his thing, I think.
Well, I've seen a lot of people doing the people really don't want to believe this is Bill Cosby. And I've seen a lot of people saying things
like
they'll say, hey, remember, you know, look at, you know, we have a court system. I don't want to see him, you know, convicted in the court of public opinion. But here's my response to that.
Two letters.
Yeah.
OJ.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The courts have already spoken.
Right.
The courts have said, okay, well, either you were innocent or you were rich enough to get away with it.
Right.
So the only court left to make a judgment is the court of public opinion. Right.
Michael Jackson settled.
Yeah.
I mean,
I get that this is uncomfortable, and I get that we don't want to rush to judge someone who didn't do anything, but there's so much smoke.
We're also in a culture of like sensationalist media, and everyone suddenly gets to make jump decisions and judgments.
But the thing is, there are people like I. If you haven't seen one of the documentaries on Lance Armstrong, go see them. That motherfucker was a fucking sociopath.
Yeah.
With the way he was lying, and then
it's a notable asshole.
Notable asshole, and people. I mean, he had foundations raising hundreds of millions of dollars based on this guy's story that was totally unbelievable.
But still, foundations have done good.
Yeah, the foundations done good things, but you know,
but
he's a terrible guy. Yeah. So after OJ or somebody like Lance Armstrong or anybody who's fallen for grace, it's a super moral guy.
Yeah,
it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah,
it just kind of sucks because I enjoyed his work.
Yeah,
Mel Gibson, we all had to go through that.
Oh boy,
he was a golden boy of film, and Bill Cosby was America's TV.
Yeah,
dad.
He was America's TV dad. Yeah,
here's favorite.
Here's another, and I want to be clear, I'm devil's advocating here because I am very much of the there's so much smoke, there's got to be some fire on this whole thing.
Yeah,
but devil's advocate. What about separating the artist from the art? Can you still enjoy the Cosby Show even though Cosby's a giant douchebag?
I probably can't. I mean, it depends.
I think it's hard to
do it now.
Break him apart from it now.
Yeah.
I mean, but you're also asking us under the lens of this being the it topic of the news cycle right now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very much like Cosby rapist.
Yeah, that's true.
That's all you think when you see it.
Now
I can't watch it and him just be all like,
because you're going to see it through, see that lens.
And then he didn't do himself any favors.
No, he did not.
Make a meme of me. It's like, who are you? You go to Twitter. This is out there, and actually having people make a meme of you.
That's a good point. That also
reinvigorated
the awareness. Yeah.
I almost wonder if someone on his social media team was sabotaging him.
Yeah,
because that was so tone deaf.
Yeah,
to be like, hey, these allegations just surfaced. hey, internet, meme me.
Yeah.
Anyone who knows anything about the internet knows what's going to happen. And the right. people running a social media team couldn't have been stupid.
Right.
They couldn't have been that stupid. I think someone may have sabotaged him on that one.
That's interesting.
Because how else does that happen?
Yeah.
That's right.
No, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, you know, someone else, though.
What an unsung hero right there.
I saw the best comment on that, though. It was on, like, the BuzzFeed article. Mm-hmm. Somebody said, yeah, I'd feel bad about all these memes about Bill Cosby, but he literally asked for it, and that's the definition of informed consent.
Right, exactly.
I'm like, oh, that's amazing.
Which he guessed, which he couldn't do.
Yeah,
obviously, so based on those allegations.
I saw one other thing about this. I was curious. Maybe this is a little outside of our boundaries of discussion for it, but the idea that like there's all these women that are making these claims, and they were basically voiceless. Until a guy comes in and draws attention to it. I saw some complaints about, like,
I've seen this.
Needed Hannibal Buress to come in, a guy to come in. But at the same time, I'm like, he came in, he has a bigger audience, he has a pulpit, a bully pulpit.
What bothers me...
It's a bigger complaint about what happened.
That's a larger societal thing, and I do see that. I do see that as a problem.
But it's not anti-Hannibal Buress.
Yeah.
No, but I also think that because, and I'll just go there, because in the black community, Bill Cosby, I mean, he's everything, you know, he's America's dad, but in the black community, I mean, he was one of the first, he was the first African-American.
Him and Pryor up at the top. Right,
but he was also the first guy to have his own TV show with Robert Stack.
Yeah.
He was the first lead on a TV show in I Spy.
He was sort of post-racial before post-racial was a thing.
Right, so, and then he also never did racial comedy, you know, really super racial comedy, so that's why, you know, he's revered in the black community. Also, Oprah, when Oprah was getting started before she built her empire, she turned to Bill Cosby for business advice, you know? Yeah. And Oprah always says that. So if these things are there, then it's kind of like, and I'm thinking like Ebony, Jet, a lot of black media who follow, care a lot about Bill Cosby, and they knew it was there. Why didn't they say anything?
Yeah. Are you saying basically someone had to be black to really call him out and get attention?
Well, I'm just saying...
Or that it's kind of...
But I'll say, for instance... like the
nice that it happened that way.
Well, I'll say, like, for instance, like, a lot of people, like, a lot of, like, African-Americans knew shit about Whitney Houston and her drug use way before she died.
Yeah.
And the stuff with transvestites and Eddie Murphy. That's been going back since... Also, part of, you know, I was living on the East Coast, so I knew people who knew them from... Because Whitney Houston's from Orange, New Jersey, and Eddie Murphy's from Long Island. So people talk, but they keep it inside.
Yeah.
You know, instead of saying, it's like, no, Eddie Murphy likes transvestites. Okay, big deal. You know, whatever.
Right.
So there's always a nature to cover up because it's like you don't want to harm your own.
Snitches get stitches.
Yeah. That's a more eloquent way of saying it. Yeah. But, well, you know, so I kind of blame, like, you call a spade, man. If somebody's doing something bad, I don't care. If it was my father and he was doing something bad, and I love my dad, he's a great guy, but I'm like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of reminds me of Macklemore coming in. He, like... there's a whole issue of like the homophobia going on in the rap community.
Yeah.
And then you just have to have Macklemore, the white guy, come in to kind of tell you how it needs to be in the rap community. I was just like, come on, dude.
And that's a whole other thing.
There's other people saying it before in the rap community. It's just get the accolades.
I guess what I'd say on this in general.
But the other part of that is that the African, I'll go with the African American community. A lot of that community is anti-gay, virulently anti-gay, which was brought out with the Boondocks when they did that whole do the bro dance, was like a satire of that because a lot of rappers are gay, like Queen Latifah. Even other male rappers that was always underneath there that they never talked about, yet they were the most anti-gay kind of faction with that stuff. So for me, there's like, if you see something going on, you gotta be.
If you see something,
say something, man. It's ridiculous.
My general argument would be that it is kind of ridiculous that women didn't have a voice until Hannibal Buress sort of started this up, but. Isn't it good that it's out there regardless of how it got out there?
Yeah, it's just that kind of that broader issue of like people that are in a minority status.
Yeah.
I mean, not quantity wise, I guess, in women's case, but in power level.
Yeah.
They still are a bit voiceless, and it's just one of those
things. And the weird thing is, it's like, quote unquote, making another rape joke, which generally is never funny. That was a big thing. Was that a year ago where somebody was doing memes about. About rape jokes and
Tosh
what's funny.
Made a rape joke, and like, yeah, I got blasted.
Yeah. So, it's just, I don't know, it's a touchy, it's like child molesting. Some things are just, okay, man, we don't need to go there. Yeah. And if somebody's doing that, you need to say something, you know?
You know, the thing is, like, I always feel like there's a difference between having a social view and having, I think nothing should be off limits for comedy.
Yeah.
But there are like live grenades that you don't go near unless you're really good.
You're really good.
If
like
you're Louis C.K.
Louis C.K. can make as many rape jokes as he wants because he's going to know how to do it that's funny
and
not.
If you're Michael Richards, you can't get away with the racial thing.
No, you cannot.
Have material that's based around it. Maybe you can deliver it properly.
Yeah.
Okay, we dedicate a lot of time to that, but obviously it's the biggest story in the news right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on to our next story, which is that the U.S. is remaking Luther.
I just saw something.
Fox in particular.
No, but I just saw something, I think kind of trumps that. Did you see this?
That Luther's also coming out with another miniseries?
Yeah, yeah.
In
February 2015?
UK?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, how are they going to, are they doing that first and then bringing Luther over?
I think they're just kind of happening
at the same
coinciding.
Time.
I don't think it's like you can't touch this property because it's so ongoing.
Well, it's weird though. I don't
understand. Kind of like The Office.
Yeah.
They're just doing their own adaptation over
but
here.
But I have no idea how it's going to turn out.
Who are you going to get that could fill the shoes of him? And
Ruth Wilson, man. She helped make that show too.
But it being on Fox,
it's a little weird.
Like, can you guys be that edgy?
How's Broadchurch doing?
Not great. that's the thing.
That one's also on the bubble.
Yeah,
but the interesting thing is, it's Idris Elba's on board as a producer.
Of course,
Peter Cross, the creator, is on board as a producer.
Because
so
they get paid.
Yeah,
but they get paid. Period.
Sure. Yeah,
that's why they're on. I can put my name on and get paid.
Yeah,
sure.
My reaction to this was really why
now if it was on FX.
Yeah,
it would have my attention.
Yeah. Maybe.
Absolutely would have my attention. I'd love to see what an American version can do, as long as it's keeping with that edgy quality.
Yeah.
See, now that's where that weird decision, since FX and Fox are the same company, essentially. Yeah. Why wouldn't you do that on FX?
Different executives, though. I'm sure it was not pitched to Landgraf.
What's interesting is, like, say a show like Tyrant.
Yeah.
Should have been on Fox.
On Fox
it would have actually done really well.
It would
well
have been the edgiest show on Fox.
Yeah, it would have been great on Fox. But on FX is kind of meandering, even though they're bringing it back for a second season.
Yeah.
So, or Gainland, do that on FX and really go there, especially that's the channel that brought you The Shield.
Yep.
You know, so I don't know. I'm not going to watch it.
I suspect that FX and Fox are pretty separate, corporately speaking, like that. They don't trade pitches very often.
Right. Maybe they should.
Maybe they should.
Yeah.
Our next bit of news, guys, I got some good news.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we need it.
Yeah.
The Millers is canceled.
Yay, they're free.
Yay. And
free Margot Martindale.
Yeah. Margot Martindale, Bo Bridges, Will Arnett even.
Yep.
Are all free.
They're free of CBS.
Sean Hayes was actually added to the cast in the second season. He's out of there too.
No, he's free. Damn, I was waiting for that 100 episodes. I get more royalties.
Yeah. I need my money.
So what is it with Will Arnett and TV shows other than Arrested Development?
I don't know.
No, even Arrested Development was always on the bubble.
Yeah.
Getting canceled, coming back.
It may be that Will Arnett is not great at picking projects.
Yeah, he's just,
He may be kind of a hit or miss guy. Give him good material, he's good.
Yeah.
But I'm happy, I'm hoping that we get to see more Margot Martindale in
The Americans.
We get to see more Beau Bridges on Masters of Sex.
Yep.
Bring that back up in quality again.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's not often you get a cancellation that makes you really happy. The only thing that made me happier is if Two Broke Girls got canceled and Kat Dennings was set free.
Hey, it might happen.
It might.
Or the other one, Mom. So, what's her name? Gets set free. Goes back to the Masters of Sex. She's played.
Allison Janney.
Yeah, yeah.
Allison Janney.
Yeah. All right. Our last bit of news is that Starz has picked up the Evil Dead TV series. And not only that, Raimi is directing.
Yep.
And not only that, Bruce Campbell, The Chin, is starring.
This story is almost crazier than the whole Cosby story. This is like, I can't believe this is happening.
How is this happening?
I mean, Campbell, how old is Campbell? Is his 50s now?
He's pretty old.
I thought he's 60s.
He's a silver fox now.
Yeah. How's he going to be playing this character? I don't know how they're going to do this.
Now, I'm trying to see if they give a write-up for what... The 10-episode series will see Campbell reprise his role as Ash, the stock boy, aging Lothario, okay, and chainsaw-handed monster hunter, who has spent the last 30 years avoiding responsibility, maturity, and the terrors of the so-called Evil Dead.
That sounds great.
So it's an over-the-hill Ash dealing with...
It kind of reminds me of... What was that other movie he was in? Bubba Hotep.
Yeah.
Like, he's now the older person, but still fighting demons. Still fighting
evil. That's cool.
I am more excited about this than anything else on Starz.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, Starz just came out with this other show called The Missing, which I hear has been getting rave reviews.
Oh, okay.
It's a little British-seeming miniseries about a kid goes missing and the father's searching for him. Started watching it. It was like really good, but it was also hitting onto my parental nerves.
Of course.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't do it. I can't watch this.
Nope, I've been there.
Yeah. But
Starz is trying. They're trying to punch up. I like Starz is punching above its weight. And I like the fact they keep going. You know,
I do think we should point out, hey guys, keep them on your radar because they seem to be doing some interesting stuff lately. All right, guys, I think that's enough for right now. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back to talk about some TV stuff.
Rosemary, heaven restores you in life. You're coming with me through the aging, the fearing, the strife. It's the smiling on the package. It's the faces in the sand. It's the thought that moves you upward, embracing me with two hands. Right, we'll take you places, yeah, maybe to the beach. When your friends, they do come crying, tell them now your pleasure's set upon slow release.
Newsroom's back for its final season.
Final five. I don't know how many episodes it is. It's five, short,
ten.
Right?
It's usually ten episodes, right?
But I think it's short. I think it's like an 8-episode
HBO
season.
HBO loves doing it. Look, you can come back, man, but we're so tired of you can only get like half the episode.
I don't even know if this is HBO. I think this might have been Aaron Sorkin doing.
Aaron Sorkin
doesn't want
to do this anymore. And
it's a lot.
He's like,
look, I made a TV show for you guys, and all you did was talk about how shitty I was, and I'm going to go make movies.
Kind of a big deal in the movie circuit.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, y'all. I'm honestly kind of surprised he came back, because season two ended. It was an ending for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Every other happy ending. Will's getting married.
It was kind of exciting, yeah.
It was a good ending, and then I'm like, okay, and then they're going to come back.
But I'm wondering what else they have to say. I still kind of enjoy the show.
I always enjoy the show. I know it's not cool. Critics hate it.
Smarmy and preaching.
It is
condescending, but
but it still does what Aaron Sorkin does.
It's still there's something fun and exciting about like having the hindsight and being like, here's how we could do it perfectly if we wanted to just kind of call some people out. And so the first episode they address the Boston bombing, correct?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
And I thought they did it pretty well.
I got to see only the scene where they call out Reddit.
Yeah.
Which was so funny because I was up that night when they were on the manhunt.
Yeah.
And I saw the Reddit thread where they were trying to figure it out. I was actually following my friend on Twitter because he's a journalist out in Boston.
Uh-huh.
He works for the Globe. And he was like on his bike following
all
the chaos. And he was tweeting and taking pictures as he went around.
Yeah.
And it was like up at like 2-3 in the morning, following the whole thing up until the shootout. And it was just like so fascinating. But I was like, Reddit. Thinking they can be little detectives. As much as I love that site.
That's so funny.
What I thought is interesting is that they didn't do what they often did, which was to go back and say, look how screwed up the media coverage was of Boston. Because that really wasn't the focus of it. The focus of it was what the show should have been, which is, how does this affect our characters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so
the
Maggie
scrambling the fear.
And so Maggie has to be on TV because Elliot has an allergic reaction. So that's an interesting thing. Like, how can she recover from her, you know, thing that she had last year and actually be on camera? Mm-hmm. And Jim is dealing with his new girlfriend, and there's some stuff with her in the second episode. You know, of course, you know, Will is getting on and doing his speechifying, but they're all sort of gun shy about the about calling anything because they got fooled last year on Genoa.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
So it's much more in line with this is, you know, not the hey, let's chastise the news media because the Daily Show and John Oliver have that covered.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's do a show about aspirational TV like West Wing was, mm-hmm. like Sports Night was, of the here's how it should work, even if it doesn't realistically work this way.
So they're kind of getting back to, they showed glimmers of that in the first season.
They're finally, I think that's finally where they've landed. Here's the thing. I believe the newsroom, if it were on NBC, would be a huge smash success.
Mm.
It doesn't belong on HBO.
It's funny because we were just talking about like how that other show, Luther, shouldn't be on Fox. It should upgrade the edgier stuff. Yeah. This is one that should be downgraded.
Yeah, Newsroom is too tame for HBO.
The first time, that's why I couldn't get through it, literally because of the credits. It's like, this music, they still got the same theme song?
No, they fixed that.
Good.
They fixed the credits.
Because the credits were like, I have not seen a show like this since West Wing or something on network television.
That at all warrants the higher quality caliber that HBO can deliver.
Yeah.
It could easily be shot multicam, even.
I bet it's like what The Good Wife would be if it was on HBO.
Yeah. They don't have the most expensive cast in the world.
Right.
And they don't have, I mean, beyond being able to say fuck every now and then, what do they really gain from being an HBO?
Yeah, why?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
And usually,
it seems to their detriment.
Yeah, usually mm-hmm. it ruins his dialogue. But then you get things like Jane Fonda speaking Aaron Sorkin dialogue. That's great. Mm-hmm. Kat Dennings shows up. She's great in it, and the little bit piece that she has. These people, I want to see people work with Sorkin. I want to see Sorkin do TV. I don't want to see Sorkin on HBO. He doesn't belong there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least it's only a few episodes this season.
But I like this show. I just have to get in my mindset that, okay, this is not Game of Thrones. This is not even Veep.
No.
This is what NBC would be doing if Sorkin was writing for
them. Now this begs a question then. Why doesn't NBC or CBS or ABC get him if he wants?
They can't afford him.
Sorkin?
They can't afford Sorkin.
Wow. Because
not
he must
anymore.
No.
Well, because everybody always talks about going to broadcast still paying more than cable.
I think Sorkin still also has a chip on his shoulder about because he got kicked off of fights and control issues.
Yeah, but that was like, you know, eight executives ago with NBC.
But the thing is, you're always going to have network interference, and Sorkin's clearly a guy who wants to do... I mean, HBO is where you go if you want to have sort of your vision.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
The problem is that his vision is not as interesting as he thinks it is.
Neither is his dialogue.
I like the newsroom. I think Sorkin's dialogue is great. I like these characters. I get every complaint that's been made about it, but I can sort of watch it with an uncritical eye and enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I do ultimately think its biggest failing was that it's on HBO, not NBC.
Hmm. All right. Well, let's move on to our next show. We got a couple of shows that we wanted to do some mid-season check-ins with. Mm-hmm. And our first one we want to talk about is The Flash.
Love The Flash.
Dude, it's so good.
I couldn't tell you guys like The Flash. That is all you talk about.
It's
awesome.
It is impressive. Started out, it looked really corny. I thought it was going to be like what I thought of the first season of Arrow, which is why I still haven't gotten into Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And what I kind of think of all of these CW type shows, this like it's all budget and it's all teen, like targeted, just cornball garbage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But no, it really delivers on the drama. It's got a great lead. There's a couple of other actors I'm like, but for the most part, I think it's really solid.
Well, I mean, having Jesse L. Martin and Tom Cavanaugh on there really elevates everybody else's game.
Jesse L. Martin's on it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And, you're going to love this.
Is that the cop?
He plays a cop who's Barry's foster dad.
Okay, see, no.
So it's almost like Lenny's partner got a little older and moved to a fictional city.
Oh.
Yeah.
I got to watch it now.
Yeah. Where are you on Cisco? I got to ask.
I like him a lot.
Good.
I think he's good comic relief.
Yeah.
I think that the other girl, she's
Caitlin?
Boring, and I think Iris is boring.
I like Caitlin.
Well, Caitlin's just kind of like,
Well, she's the wet blanket. That's her character.
She's a wet blanket, and
but she's playing the character well.
I've seen it done interestingly elsewhere, and she's just very stock. Oh. Very stock, boring.
I like her. I agree with you. She's not one of the strongest characters, but I like her. And Iris, here's what I'll say about Iris. I think the actress is fine. The character is fine. I think the essential problem is there's no chemistry with Barry. And I think that because they're expected to get together, that's because if you look at it, we were talking about this too today. Talk comic shop. We talk about this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. That Iris and Eddie, you know, Eddie is supposed to be the obstacle. He's the guy she's dating now, and you know, Iris.
Is he also supposed to be some bad guy?
Well, his name is a nod to a bad guy.
Is he the nod to the?
He's
the nod
to Reverse Flash. Yeah, because Eobard Thawne is the name of the Reverse Flash, and his name is Eddie Thawne.
Hmm. Okay, so he's the Reverse Flash.
Either he's the Reverse Flash, or he's an ancestor, or it's a red herring.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, Eddie and Iris are actually a good couple. Like, Eddie seems to be a decent guy. He's good. He's nice to Barry. He's not a bully or anything like that. He's a good guy.
The girl who came from Arrow?
Felicity.
That girl? And Flash?
Instant chemistry. They're great together.
Everything
but
was cute flirtation.
She's on Arrow. They can't do anything with it. They can't go anywhere.
I was like, everything they're doing right there felt right.
Yep.
And Iris is boring.
You know, here's the thing. I think Iris has been getting more interesting as she...
I think her and her blog is just a bad thing for this show.
Did you not like the scene, though, where she talked to the Flash about her blog? Like, when he finally comes to her and he's vibrating his vocal cords?
I liked the stuff with him. I thought he's the only thing saving that scene.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that actress. I just think that they've painted that character into a corner where she's going to be the girl in distress.
I think you're being far too forgiving. I think there's a problem with that actress.
I don't think so. I think the actress is fine. I think that the character is in a bad
place. Which one is
this?
Candace Patton?
Iris. Yeah, Candace Patton. I think she's fine. I think they need to adjust the character.
She's Lila Garrity, man. Lost. but anyway, I had one other question I wanted to ask, and I don't know if this goes into spoiler territory, ladies and gentlemen, so if you want to jump ahead
potential flash
a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to ask about Kavanaugh's character.
Yeah.
What's going on?
The obvious favorite, the way they're obviously pointing us is that he is the Reverse Flash. That he came back in time, which is the Reverse Flash's origin.
To make Flash.
This is a retcon.
So he needed to give him a damaged origin by killing his mom in order to make him who he is?
Yes and no. There was a retcon. This is a recent thing that Jeff Johns, one of the guys who co-writes the show and is one of the producers, introduced that Barry Allen basically Thawne came back to kill Barry's mother as revenge, basically. And Barry tried to go back in time and stop it, and that's what caused the New 52, the whole revamp of the DC Universe.
Oh.
So it's a nod to that. But Reverse Flash is another Reverse Flash called Zoom, who's a guy who his crazy motivation was he wanted to make Barry a better hero by being the best villain. I never bought it, but it's a Johns thing, so that could be what they're doing.
So it could be a mixture of the two, maybe?
It could be.
It seems like he has a genuine love and interest for the success of Barry.
Yes. See, there's what I think. I think it's a red herring. I think they're trying to get us to guess that he's the Reverse Flash.
Like him standing up in the chair and like that's all a ruse?
Yep.
Or is it
it's a ruse? It's a ruse. Clearly he can walk.
And he goes and like kills people to protect Barry. I'm like, wow, that's kind of...
Here's my theory.
It's dark and it's really cool for this show to do that.
Here's my theory, and it's going to get a little deep DC Comics knowledge for y'all.
Okay.
So I have three. One is that he's a future Barry Allen.
Hold up. Hey, if you're just tuning back in, jump ahead another minute or two.
Yeah, you're about to hear my speculation on who Wells is.
Okay.
One is that he is a Barry Allen from the future, from just after the crisis, and that he has come back in time from a sort of a darker future, and that he's come back in time to protect himself from whatever's going to... So from dying in the crisis.
He's Barry Allen from the future?
He's Barry Allen from the future, and he's gotten a little dark because he's willing to do whatever it takes to keep himself safe, and probably Iris too.
Wow.
That's one theory. That does not support it by any kind of comics knowledge. That's never happened. My other theory... I have two. My other theory, this is a little out there, is that he's Rip Hunter, a well-known time traveler in the DC Universe, and is doing the same thing, and he's protecting Barry. Rip Hunter's always been a little... more morally gray.
Okay.
My third insane theory is that he's a guy named Wave Rider from a 1991 crossover who came back in time to prevent a supervillain from taking over the future. And I think they may have just repurposed the character that he's a character who's coming back to try and prevent a dark future. Basically, my overall theory
he's
is
Bishop.
Yes.
From that X-Men. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
My overall theory is whoever he is, I think he's trying to prevent Barry from dying in the Crisis.
Okay.
But I don't think he's the Reverse Flash.
So you think they're actually trying to build up to Crisis?
Well, they mention Crisis at the end of the first episode. Remember?
No.
Wells goes into his secret room, stands up, takes his glasses off, and has a newspaper from 2024, 10 years in the future, that say Red Skies, which is a thing from Crisis on Infinite Earths, and Barry Allen, the Flash, disappears in Crisis.
Whoa. I guess I missed that.
They mentioned the Crisis in the tag at the first episode, so he is clearly trying to avoid that.
Very cool.
So that's... the Wells stuff, here's the thing. I think standalone, week to week, the show is good enough. I like what they're doing with the supervillains.
They're building this mythology.
And so I don't even need the mythology, but I like the mystery of who Wells is really fascinating to me. I don't want to go speculate too much and have people tell. I don't want to know before I know, you know?
Do you think that we're ever going to see some breakdancing?
From Vibe?
From Vibe.
I think it's quite possible. I think it's entirely possible.
Guys, I'm a secret breakdancer.
Well, Caitlin is a bad guy.
Oh yeah,
Caitlin Snow, her name.
Oh yeah,
she's named Killer Frost. She's a Firestorm bad guy who is in love with Firestorm. Who, by the way,
Dominic
is her ex-boyfriend. No, that's Cold. That's Captain Cold.
Oh, her boyfriend.
Her boyfriend,
that's
Rob.
Right. Fire and Ice.
Yeah,
dumb that line or some shit.
Yes,
said.
That was a total reference to Firestorm and Killer Frost.
Oh boy.
So I think that's where they're going.
They're really. It's weird to layer in like his close allies to have them. Be kind of fucked up too.
I have another theory about that too. I think that whatever
latent abilities,
whatever Wells is, whatever if they go by second season, if Cisco becomes Vibe, if Caitlin becomes Killer Frost, if Wells becomes whoever he is, suddenly Barry doesn't have a support team and he's the Flash on his own, which is an evolution of the character.
Nice.
So I think they could be going that direction. I don't know. None of this is spoilers. I don't know any of this. I don't want to know any of it. But I love speculating on where they're going.
I like you speculating as well.
It's so much fun.
I can't do it. I don't have the wealth of DC knowledge you do. All right. Well, obviously we're in love with this show, but we're surprisingly in love with another show.
Yes.
The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Guys. Greg, I'm surprised that you're back on this show too. You took a break for a while, didn't you?
No. I've always watched it. I just never liked it.
I thought you stopped.
No, I have had such a love-hate relationship with this show.
Randy stopped.
Yeah. I didn't stop. I thought Johnny stopped. Or did
Johnny stopped.
Yeah.
Johnny quit.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I've always watched it because there's always a couple good... I mean, when Rick is a badass,
that's
when the show is the best. Or when somebody takes up the badass mantle, or the, you know, warring factions kind of meet.
Yeah. When they develop the characters when they split them up and they know how to balance the plot lines when they actually don't drag plot lines, but they wrap things up and keep progressing forward.
But part of it...
The pacing is amazing.
But let's think about this, though. I mean, it's taken, is season five?
Season five.
It's taking 5 years for you to kind of really understand Carol.
Yeah.
You know, it
I don't think it's a matter of that, though.
It's that they've modified all these characters. None of these characters are like what they used to be.
Right. And I think
they actually just showed that in the most recent Carol.
Yes.
Right.
That's episode.
That's why I kind of brought that up. Yeah.
They've grown up. They're
But not just that, but then having the plot from two episodes ago with they're in the city they're trying to go get what's your face,
the hospital,
the hospital. Yeah, but then the guy who escaped from it,
that was last episode.
Everybody hates Chris.
Everybody hates Chris, but he's there, so you knew instantly. Yeah. Oh, that's the tie to get them to the hospital.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, you didn't take that whole thing and drag it out for two episodes when we knew that's where it was going to go.
No, this whole splitting up the team thing they've done, where they show an episode.
Yeah.
You know, they show an episode of Abraham and his crew on the road.
Yeah,
they show an episode with Rick and his people. They show Carol and Daryl. They show a Beth. They did a Beth solo episode. Right. It was great.
That was great.
How is that possible?
Because they're actually focusing on character development once. I mean, before they were like all about shock and awe, and it was paying off for them. But you know what? They've suddenly been able to also like say, hey, we can do great story.
Yeah.
And I give all credit to Scott Gimple.
I do too. I was skeptical. It took him a while to write the ship, but he nailed it.
You could see he took over last season.
Yeah.
Right.
And it still was kind of shaky.
It was uneven, shitty for
the first half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it started getting good in the second half, and that's what led us to be a little bit optimistic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's like they had the interim between seasons to really like strengthen everything, and it's
it's rocketing now. You know, it's like he knows how to call the shots and like get them to write storylines that like reflect the characters and actually tell something beyond just a zombie apocalypse.
Right.
And
also, there's two things I want to note. Yeah. One, they've changed so many characters. They've lost. I mean, that's one of the things is that a lot of the people that were dragging the show down are dead.
Them. Yeah, they're
dead.
The other thing, and I'm sure, Greg, you must have noticed this, is that it's suddenly gone from one token black guy to one of the most diverse shows on TV.
Well, it makes, it's in one weird way. Because it's kind of, they're all around Atlanta. If you know anything about Atlanta, it's a really diverse city.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, that makes more sense.
Well, also, they brought in everyone from The Wire.
They brought it, that too. And then they even brought back, first episode, we haven't seen him since like the first
Morgan.
Season. Morgan.
Yeah.
Which is great because I love
him. He's lurking in the background.
Yeah, I know, but I don't give a shit. It's great. I don't care. I just like seeing, because he's got, you know, I guess he got.
Was Lenny James in The Wire?
No, Lenny James. No, he was in Snatch.
I know him from other. Yeah,
Chad Coleman, Lawrence Gilliard.
Yeah, and oh my God,
I feel like there's more.
Yeah, there is the preacher.
Yeah, the preacher.
Oh, jeez, I'm forgetting his name.
Can I say this though? Yeah. I think the weakest episode of this whole season, and it's been a good season, is the one that Robert Kirkman wrote.
That's the one where
they introduced the preacher.
Yeah.
I thought that was the weakest episode.
Wait, what happened in that?
That's when he locked the whole thing. You trying to figure out with him with the church?
No,
they dropped down in the basement. It's all like nasty.
Yeah, that one. That was the weakest episode.
Yeah, I guess so.
And it was weak.
It wasn't. It wasn't that.
It was weak compared to this season,
except for that ending.
It was genius compared to the rest of the season.
But that ending was.
Oh yeah,
that ending was brutal.
The ending was brutal. Yeah.
Also. Yeah. That's the one where Rick gives a great speech to Carl about like I mean once it's him reiterating all the time you can't trust anyone and all that but it was just man
but it was brutal
but then the next episode they did the thing where they basically took out the cannibals in the most brutal thing way possible
that was
a great episode
I mixed those episodes
up. Those episodes get a little blurry but the weakest stuff was generally Kirkman's stuff I thought
but.
It's a good. It's good. Bordering on great.
It's one of those I eagerly look forward to each
week.
I watch it almost live every week.
Me too.
Yeah, so do I. And it's like,
you know, the only show I'm liking more than Walking Dead right now.
Uh oh,
The Flash.
Yeah,
I agree, man.
Well, I mean, yeah, because the only other show I watch that I like more. Well, they're not officially on the list, so I'm not.
By the way, you know where the comics of Flash and Walking Dead can be found?
At
Rogues Gallery Comics and Games in Round Rock, Texas.
That's right.
Nice.
Yeah. That's right.
So if you guys happen to be in town in the Austin area, just shoot up to Rogues Gallery in Round Rock, Texas.
You can also find comics of Constantine, which we haven't really talked about much.
There you go.
Why haven't we talked about
Arrow?
You'd probably want to talk about that one.
What else is? I mean. The amount of good Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. The amount of good comic book TV right now is amazing.
It is. So. But also, there's stuff that we're not digging as much, and we're going to get into that after the break.
As I walk along, I wonder what went wrong with our love, a love that was so strong. And as I still walk on, I think of the things we've done together while our hearts were young. Tears are falling and I feel the pain. Wishing you were here by me to end this misery. And I wonder, why she ran away. And I wonder if she will stay. Yeah. My little runaway, my runaway.
So I posted earlier today, actually.
Aww.
Shows that I seem to have lost all interest in watching include The Blacklist, Sleepy Hollow, Sons of Anarchy, South Park, American Horror Story, Gotham, and The Bridge Season 2, which is still sitting in my DVR, and I just don't have the gumption to watch any of these. This is not like necessarily a reflection of like all these shows being crappy. In fact, I think some of those shows you could argue are pretty good.
Yeah.
It's just there's so many things and these are These have dropped in priority dramatically for me.
Yeah. Well, I have my list of that. No, there's only one show on my list that's on your list. That's Sleepy Hollow.
Sleepy Hollow.
The rest of those, I'm not watching. That's a different thing. But I have four Modern Families stacked up.
Mm-hmm.
I have... I know I've got some other shows that have stacked up on my DVR. Constantine is stacking up. And I've dropped several shows that were stacking up. And I realized, okay, you know what? I'm not going to watch Black-ish. I'm not going to watch About a Boy. Those shows, they're not going to make the cut for me. So I dropped them.
I had someone who commented on my post that said, go out for a walk instead. That list, it said, that list amounts to approximately 6 hours in front of the TV. And I think that's funny because I'm like, dude, that's I watch a lot more than that.
6 hours for the TV. That's light day.
Yeah, that's nothing.
That's funny.
For the TV dudes.
Yeah, that's what we do.
You don't know how pathetic I am. I watch a lot of TV.
Yeah, this is crazy because I still have Sleepy Hollow. And I never watched the first season. I spoil myself. I'm like, yeah, I can catch up to.
But you have 32 episodes.
I want to watch it on the big screen. But I'm like, wait, what am I doing? I'm not going to catch up on the show. I just need to get it off there. I have four Masters of Sex.
Mm-hmm.
I have the show, The Honorable Woman from Sundance, that I saw the first two episodes. Like, this is great. And it's just too much. It's just like, okay, it's an hour and I really have to pay attention because they're doing kind of heavy accents. And it just takes a lot of my psychic energy and my emotional energy that I'm like, I don't feel like doing it. And like, all we mentioned earlier off mic that, you know, we'll be at home like working.
Yeah.
Or I'll be at school grading papers. I want to watch something. I have to have something on in the background. And I don't want a show that I want to watch because I got to pay attention. So I end up rewatching a bunch of old shows.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm like, okay, I can halfway pay attention.
It's comfort food TV.
Yeah, it's comfort food TV.
Well, do you guys think this is seasonal at all?
I do.
Is it because we're getting to the end of the year and we're like starting to think of the best stuff?
Well, I think it's seasonal because it's the end of the year and it's seasonal also because it's the holidays. So we are pulling ourselves out because of family stuff or friend stuff or just getting out and whatever. I mean, I think it's part of that.
Is part of it the lack of quality lately?
I do think not necessarily lack of quality, but like all the great stuff is not on right now.
And I mean,
a lot of anticipation for the next year.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, maybe it's just me because I've got a lot of other things going on. I've just been busy.
Yeah.
I just can't seem to get to it.
Right.
And I think that does factor in part and in large part. But I also think it's something else going on with the fact that like you said, there's a lot of good shows on.
Yeah.
And either these just don't make the cut of the ones I'm watching right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or on top of that, I think also a good point you said that these just pale in comparison to our top dogs.
Yeah, well, here's the thing.
I got to slum it with these.
Here's the argument against the time thing is that are you behind on Walking Dead? Are you behind on Flash?
No, of course not.
No, you're way up on those. So it's not like you didn't carve out the time for those.
No, those are priority,
because they're good.
I will make sure I watch that. I will make sure I watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine right when it comes out, every time.
Yeah, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, too.
I don't take more than a day to watch it.
Yeah, I think that's
the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. still on top of the list.
If a show piles up on your DVR, it generally means it might be good, but you're not wanting to watch it.
And, you know, I've lamented time and time again about my love-hate relationship with Sons of Anarchy.
Yes.
This fucking show.
You have to finish that one out.
Everyone is saying, oh, man, it's so amazing.
Yep.
I mean, not everyone. There's a couple people that are like, this is fucking disgusting. what I've been seeing is that fucking disgusting aspect. There's no one to root for anymore.
Right.
And I find this in a lot of these shows lately. It's just like, I don't see who I'm supposed to be rooting for. Like, The Blacklist, I'm like, am I still rooting for him? He's not necessarily a good guy.
Right. Now, that show's gotten so convoluted. I mean, they've got so many back... Wait, spoiler... You're not going to watch it.
I don't give a
spoiler
shit.
Spoiler alert. So, Tom's not dead, which is always...
Of course.
Which is always kind of like, okay, once you go in there, you're like, all right. Now you're getting totally out of hand. Now you're getting totally out of control. And then this whole thing with the Russian guy they're chasing and the thought... It's so convoluted now that the only thing that saves it is that James Spader is funny and great.
Yeah.
But even now, they killed two guys last time, including him and Alan Alda's character. So I was like, okay, why am I watching it again?
Right.
So, but... for me, ironically, that show is easy because it's easy to watch, and it's just ridiculous, and it's on Monday nights, which in a weird way is actually fine for me because I, you know, end up watching it like either with Monday Night Football or after. I know it's like because like so there'll be like plots or moments in the week where you're waiting for something, and so like if I waited till Wednesday to watch. Before like Top Chef or anything to watch Blacklist, I will. And that's why I keep telling myself for like Masters of Sex. It's like, okay, there's that Friday night, like the Nick's not on, and I'm not, if we go to Happy Hour, we come back, or, you know, I'm not going out. So I'm like, okay, I'll just catch up on television. But then I end up watching, you know, comfort food, terrible television, like stuff on TLC instead, which like, I can't believe these are people like this in real life. And then those TV shows.
You can turn off, like, kind of turn off your brain and relax.
Right.
I get that.
But those other TV shows, like Masters of Sex, I kind of have to plug in. I might have to, like, okay, where was I at before? And then I have to kind of, like, do a reveal. It's almost like homework.
Well, here's the other thing that I've noticed on mine, and this is something we talked a little bit about, the cancellations, that comedy's maybe losing me a little bit. And I think the comedy's losing its edge on TV.
I just think there's some that are just, like, I swear, like, I just think Married and You're the Worst...
Yeah,
we're so good.
Fresh air, yeah,
that I can't like going back. And I love Modern Family, but even now, it's like you see the same beats you're hitting.
Yeah,
and the jokes are stale. And they kind of brought in that new family now with Steve Zahn's. He's like,
I haven't gotten to that point yet. I'm behind.
They haven't really done anything with them. Just the wacky neighbors.
The thing is, it should be working. I've liked Modern Family more than a lot of critics have fallen in love with it for a couple seasons now. But I think I'm finally starting to see it's just kind of repetitive. It's not as funny as I thought it used to be. I dropped Marry Me when I realized it was just sort of shrill.
Mm-hmm.
I dropped Black-ish because it just wasn't hitting me.
Now, Black-ish is like my new, that just, I think Anthony Anderson in that cast is really, and the kids are just casting
it. See, that's the thing. I keep hearing that it's gotten better than it was in the pilot episode, and it's actually worth investing in. Well, I haven't done it.
It is, but it's one of those things kind of like with Sleepy Hollow. Okay, I heard the first season was great. It was interesting, but I kind of missed the boat for a lot of reasons. And then you get to the point, do I waste my time?
Would you put it up there with Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Well, as this new comedies right now.
Black-ish?
But that shows you kind of really how weak comedy is.
I mean, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is still top tier.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Among
great.
Like any comedies, even on the big network.
Well, and I think that kind of leads to why the other comedies seem stale. And I don't know if it's just because it's newer.
No, it's this whole season. Like, everything has been being dropped and canceled.
Yeah.
You can look at the list of what was canceled already.
And it's all comedies.
Miller's A to Z, Selfie, Manhattan Love Story. That one's kind of, it's comedy. It wasn't Bad Judge. Mulaney's on the bubble to get canceled.
Yep.
Like, I'm surprised that Miller
taking a big color.
I thought. Yeah. I'm surprised that Miller's got. I mean, I didn't. I don't know the.
I like the ratings were great.
Okay, I don't know the CBS universe. I thought it was good.
In its second season.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't pulling it.
I mean, I think it might have had the ratings like NBC would have killed for, but not CBS ratings.
Okay.
But the two that we haven't mentioned yet that we were going to talk a little about is New Girl and Mindy Project.
Well, I can't watch New Girl
anymore. New Girl for me has been getting funnier again, but it's still one of those that
it's
sits on my DVR.
But wait, let's talk. We talked about this. Let's bring it back about that one episode that just
This pretty offensive episode.
It was offensive, and it just wasn't funny. It was the episode where what's your face is going to get her breast reduced.
Cece's going to get a breast reduction. So Schmidt's all about like she's not a person so much as she's identified by her body, and that's all he's judging.
Which,
like,
they
actually have a scene where he has her put in headphones so he can talk to her.
Yeah,
boobs.
Which, by the way,
but that's very Schmidt.
It was very shallow.
Yeah, oh no, absolutely. And then here's my question.
Right.
Do you guys give it any points because it's a female-led creative team?
No,
I don't.
Like,
because look at girls and look who does girls. They do. If it's sexually exploitive, whether it's a man or a woman, to me, it doesn't matter. Because
it made me feel uncomfortable. Yeah. I just thought, I don't like what this is. Like, how all of a sudden these characters are changing to just judge each other in such a shallow manner.
And then,
it lost some of that that joy, that fresh friendship I think they built up.
I did think that was the weakest part of the show, but I have to admit that Nick Miller using the I live with my ex-girlfriend to get rid of girls after he'd slept with them, but I found that a hilarious little montage.
But the other thing is why I didn't think it was funny, and I thought it was ridiculous and kind of just off-putting, is because it's not a... I'm telling you, I think You're the Worst has changed comedy standards for relationships for me.
Yeah.
Because that's a realistic... There were people kind of going through it. They were trying to get together, and it showed like, okay, we are trying to be together, but okay, I'm kind of dating this other woman. But it was very realistic that, like, that situation that she was in with Nick would never happen. First of all, nobody would be living with each other like that.
Yeah, you're right. You're the Worst was sort of real and cynical, but at the same time kind of sweet and romantic.
Yeah, and this
and
is
New
just...
Girl is kind of, I mean, almost Seinfeld is actually even... like more realistic than New Girl. Right. New Girl is so
and
out
then the,
there.
And then the third story of that episode of like Winston just is trying to get in with these two girls by
he's being a really nice guy and helping them.
Right.
And they portray this as him just being a punk putz who's being used by them and being taken advantage of.
Because he thinks he might end up dating or having sex with one of them.
So when Coach calls it out, one of them... Actually, treats him like oh we have to have sex with him so they'll keep doing work for us, and it's just
there's something skeevy about it.
It cheapens all the characters. I think it paints them all in a negative light.
Yeah,
and this is not a show that I think I like when they do that. I think this show operates much better when it plays to the actual stronger friendly bonds than like the going out there for each other. Like they all have each other's back. There was an episode a couple weeks back that had where. What's her name? Lead character.
Jess
thought she had a bag of meth in her closet.
See, and that was the episode I didn't like. I thought it was too wacky.
It was wacky, but there's some elements of it where they're all trying to like work together. Yeah. And mainly Winston, like everything he was doing, was cracking me up. I was like really into that.
You know what?
They all tried to cover for each other.
You know what's kind of funny to me?
He's like, I'm going to go find a kid. I'm going to go find a kid out there.
What's kind of funny is it's clear that none of us really like this show anymore. But we all want different things out of it. Like, I like the more Seinfeld, the Always Sunny take on them, where they're horrible people.
They can't be It's Always Sunny.
Well, you know, they can't. I think it's like the worst of all the worlds. It's like, the writing's not strong enough to do that. They're not strong enough comedians to do.
Yeah.
As an ensemble, they're still not strong enough.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, like, Nick, I think, obviously, like, I haven't seen that movie, Let's Be Cops or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I want to because...
No, but he's great.
He's great, and I think him and Damon Williams Jr. together are great. I don't think the rest of them have that same...
Oh, I still think Schmidt's great. I just think they don't know how to write for him anymore.
Yeah, but he's great, but he doesn't necessarily... He doesn't really bond well with He doesn't play well with others all the time because then it's always about him. Like he sucks all the air out of the room. Where like Always Sunny.
Yeah.
They have that down. They
all have their role.
They all have their role.
They have the brains, the looks, the talent, the wild card.
So you guys ready to drop this one as well?
I've already dropped it.
It's still on my DVR, but it's very much on probation.
I still watch this with my wife, and I laugh at it more than she does, but I'm still getting something out of it.
Me too.
Now, Mindy Project, is that one
that's
on the
That's
top
gone for me.
Gone?
The first episode I was out on.
I came back, and I was like, okay, I see what Grant and Johnny are talking about. It's well put together. There's a lot of good actors I like.
Yeah.
But I realized in watching this that Mindy and Danny, the two lead characters...
Are you about to say something I'm going to disagree with?
Oh, okay. I find them so terrible. I find them just be terrible people.
Okay. Well, I can't necessarily agree with like the merits of the human beings themselves, but I really like the relationship between them. I think there's something really cute, really playful about it. I think it's kind of hilarious.
Okay, well, it's interesting, but they're so adversarial that it's almost a throwback to like 50s relationships. I think like she's
kind of honeymooners.
She's the girl, and she's trying to trick him into a commitment, and he's the commitment phobe. I mean, they do through a thing where like he's the neat freak and she's the slob, but it's a lot of sitcom-y tropes to me.
Okay, see, that's interesting because, again, I don't have to like the character because I'll watch if just I want to see bad things happen to that character, whether it's a strong performance or strong writing. Mm-hmm. And there's always that weird thin line, like, I always said the same thing about girls, why I just hated that world. I didn't hate all of them. I thought it was ridiculous, and I just didn't... and I thought the acting was bad too. So for the most part, but and with Mindy Project, that was my first visceral reaction to that was because they made this joke about the woman who played Precious, and I cannot remember her name.
Cabaret Sidibe.
Yeah, and it was like a bad fat joke.
Yeah,
and I'm like, it's great. But wait, Mindy. Really? You know, you want to go
She's
there?
She's very self-aware of her fatness.
I know, but it was a joke that was just not necessary. I was like, okay, I'm out on this show.
But Mindy has...
Or the character, the character.
One of my sort of triggers for characters, I can't stand narcissism to the most part. Narcissism drives me crazy, and Mindy...
But you love Schmidt.
I did it for the money.
I think Schmidt's funny because Schmidt is underneath it all, I think he means
he's
well.
He's insecure? Oh, he means well?
He's insecure.
She's insecure as well.
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason,
but she means well as well.
Mindy's the type of character who,
she's
like...
She's a selfless doctor who helps these people all the time.
In real life, Mindy's the type of woman who would not talk to me for 5 minutes.
It personally?
I take it personally.
You
I do.
That's...
I would not... And if I were to party with this girl...
Schmidt wouldn't talk to you either.
I don't really like Schmidt.
You just hate women.
I do hate women.
You know what? Thank you. Yeah. See, now you just framed my argument of why I hate girls. I lived that life. It's not like that. And women like that were pain in the asses and bitches. And the guys around them were people you didn't want to hang out with because they were just stupid assholes.
Well, see, this is where I came from on Mindy Project.
Yeah.
I realized that, and it was just, I was watching the show, and I'm realizing I don't like these people, and I wouldn't, if I were at a party, I wouldn't talk to them, so why do I want to invite them to my home for 20 minutes a week?
I mean, I get
a good
that.
Way to put that.
I'm still liking the show a lot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I still think this is very indicative of, for some reason, 2014 is just this big culling of...
Because there's been a lot of great shows that are better.
I mean, either next week or next episode or the episode after is going to be our...
best of.
Our 2014 retrospective.
Best of,
Oh, man, I don't know if you guys have started prepping for that at all.
I have.
2014 is a great year for TV.
I have.
There's a bunch of really big, great shows. True Detective, Fargo, The Nick.
It's just that we're...
And new ones.
It's just that we're past them all.
Yeah. But... There's also some stinkers, and it just seems like the tail end is going out with a whimper here.
And I just really think, based on those great new shows and the new comedies, You're the Worst. You know, I just like probably my favorite comedy on, or Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which came out super strong and is still killing it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like now I'm comparing that to the shows that have been there to those things, which are just, and that's what I'm trying to think, is it just because they're newer? And they're fresher.
Well, I want to bring something up about, we talked about The Flash.
Yeah.
The Flash is not like HBO quality show.
Right.
No.
The Flash is not probably, you know, it's not even like Sons of Anarchy level. It's not aiming. But the thing is,
writing isn't even like necessarily top tier.
But what they do is they know their target and they hit it.
They do.
And that's what I think is the problem with all these shows we're sort of dropping, is that it's not that they're not, it's not that they don't have ambition.
We're not their
it's just
target.
That they're not hitting their targets. They're ambitious.
Do you think that we're not their target?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's us. I think it's that they are aiming.
It's not us. It's you.
They're not achieving what they're setting out to do. New Girl wants to be a fun, young ensemble comedy, and it's not that.
But and I think that's interesting because I first noticed that really like what say Suburgatory when it had a weird change in the middle where it was surreal. Then it got into this weird relationship stuff, and then they couldn't find their footing again. And I don't know what happens with showrunners or the creators, where they're like, maybe they see some success for the show, and then they change it, or they're like, okay, we got this, so maybe we should explore this angle or this old TV trope and try to do it our way.
They get the wrong thing what was successful.
Yeah.
And
they
stick to that and keep playing it.
Yeah.
Or New Girl does that consistently.
Yeah.
Or they fall into a rut. That's what happened to Modern Family. Modern Family is not any less successful at what it does than it was in the first season. It's just, we've seen all your tricks.
Right.
Their heartwarming feel good stuff is just like,
it's like, we get it.
Yeah, you're not bringing anything new. You're not challenging me as a viewer, and at least we're being challenged as viewers with dramas.
Yeah.
At least we're getting new edgy material in our comedy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
You're giving us the same run of the mill stuff.
Yeah.
At Brooklyn Nine-Nine this week was
I think that's a lot to do with it. It's a matter of ambition and doing what you set out to do. And you got to have at least one, and hopefully both.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So overall, ladies and gentlemen, tell us what you guys think about this end of 2014 season. Are you also hitting this sort of fatigue with these shows? Are you dropping a bunch? It's interesting because when I posted on my Facebook about all the shows I was dropping, I got a ton of other people that were also listing all these shows that they just stopped watching. It isn't just us.
Yeah, no, my DVR's been getting culled.
The DVR's been getting culled, but then there's... And it is weird because
it's like early spring cleaning for us. We're jumping into winter cleaning.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just did my list of what I was watching. It's funny, I actually did update it again because the last 3 weeks I actually got rid of a bunch of stuff. I'm like, why is it on here? So I don't know because next year is going to come in with a bang because Justified starts coming up. It will be back. I'm sure April will.
Agent Carter is on January 8th.
Justified though,
final season of Justified. I'm really excited about that.
And then I hope
they step it back up. And then
it goes back to really kind of the heart of the show, Raylan and Boyd. Yeah. So we got to
be coming up on some stuff because
you got that. You got True Detective. You've got Game of Thrones can come back. Mad Men,
Westworld from HBO.
Yeah, Mad Men's coming back for the final season. Yep. Yeah. So it means a lot. So, and you know the quality of those shows that we love. It's like they are so much above everything else that it almost like your year just kind of revolves around their seasons.
It's reversed. It's not fall season. Fall season is not what you look forward to anymore.
Where you're like depressed when they're not on. You know, it's like oh shit. No,
but yeah, curious to hear what everybody else has.
Yeah, let us know. And once again, we'd like to remind you that if you want to help support the show, please go to iTunes, give us that 5-star review,
and without a gun to your head, please.
And without a gun to your head, and write us a little review. We'll read it on the show. Like us on Facebook and on Twitter, and share your comments with us on thetvdudes.com. And until next week, guys.
TV Dudes out.
Stepping out tonight, flying so high. It's the good times, keeping me alive.